Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Dave Johnson. Welcome, Dave. It's great to have you with me.
It is very nice to be here.
Since you've listened to some of these, you know that we start at the beginning, and I don't know very much about you, which is part of why this is so much fun. Are you a native Oregonian, or where were you born?
I'm not a native Oregonian. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska. I was born in Omaha and lived there for about 6 years, but then my family moved to Lincoln for my dad's job, and my folks actually still live in the house I grew up in.
So you didn't do a lot of moving around in those early days?
No, not at all. Dad had the same job all the way through growing up. It was a very nice, stable life.
How many siblings and where do you fit in the family?
I'm the oldest of three. I have two younger sisters. My sister Jamie is about 2 years younger than me, and my sister Stephanie is 8 years younger than me. Jamie still lives in Lincoln, and Stephanie lives in St. Paul, Minnesota with her husband and family.
So you're spread out a bit.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yep.
We want to talk just a bit about your growing up years. What does a family of your size do when you're in Nebraska for fun, say in the summertime?
We camped a lot growing up. We went to different state parks right around the state. And then both sides of the family all lived within about a 90-mile radius. So my mom grew up in Grand Island, which is in the middle of the state. And dad grew up in a little town called Hastings, which is just about 15, 20 miles away from Grand Island. So we spent a lot of time visiting and staying with extended family.
Did your family ever take like any road trips or go to interesting places in those days?
Yeah, we would go to the Black Hills up in South Dakota, and we have pictures of trips to Yellowstone and Grand Tetons and everything within driving distance, everything with where there's camping. I think I was 16 or 17 before I stayed in a hotel room. We camped or stayed with family everywhere we went.
Public school?
I did. I a public school except for 3 years at a private Christian school for junior high. I went to Lincoln Christian. But I graduated from Lincoln Southeast. So I was a Randolph Roadrunner in elementary school. I was a Lincoln Christian Crusader, which we can sort of think about what that's like. Then I was a Southeast Knight. And then I was, I think, a Crusader again at Grace College of the Bible for 1 year. And then a University of Nebraska Omaha Maverick. That was where I graduated.
So you have some mascots in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the hat that you're wearing has a big P on it. What's that for?
That's for the Portland Diamond Project. That's a it's a group in town that's trying to get a Major League Baseball team to live in Portland.
It sounds like it's safe to say that church has always been an important part of your life. Tell me about church growing up.
So it's always been a defining part of my life. For sure. We grew up going to a church, a big non-denominational church called Lincoln Brien, that when we started was probably 400 or 500 people. By the time that I left when I went to college, it was close to a couple thousand people. They had several services, a huge campus on the edge of town. And so that was the faith tradition in which I was raised, probably like a conservative evangelical church. It was actually called Korean Fundamentalist Church for the first few years that we lived there, back before that was kind of a thing people stopped referring to themselves as.
And you would have been involved in Sunday school and youth group?
We did Awanas. I don't know if that's a thing out here, but I did Awanas all the way through. I have probably a significant chunk of the Bible memorized because of that involvement. I was very involved in youth group. Those were my main social relationships all the way through high school, and even a little bit after high school. I was a junior high youth sponsor for a number of years while I was in high school, and then in a couple of years in college. So, yeah.
In those high school years, were you involved in extracurricular activities of any kind?
Yeah, I played sports all the way through high school. I played a lot of intramural basketball. I played baseball until a couple injuries ended two seasons, 2 years in a row. I was on the tennis team in high school. So it was mostly sports and then in church. That was kind of the defining things in our life, in my life.
What were the injuries that you sustained?
I broke my hand right before my junior season, and right before my senior season, I herniated a disc in my back.
And these were both sports injuries?
So I broke my hand because I lost my temper and hit the back of our couch. And I actually didn't know that it was broken for a couple of weeks. It was my dominant hand, my right hand. And I assumed that because I could make a fist and grip a tennis racket that it was not broken. But after the swelling went down, I noticed that there was a lump on my at the bottom of my hand. It was actually the bone sticking out. And so they had to go and they had to re-break it before they set it. And then the back injury, I was playing basketball on a 9-foot hoop. And I, at that point in my life, I could dunk a basketball. And I dunked the ball, let go of the rim, and so there was someone underneath me and took my legs out from underneath me. I landed on my back.
Do you have long-term issues with either of those?
I had back problems for about 10 years. Like that would just sort of flare up. I haven't had that problem in quite a while, which is a blessing. It's probably coming back, but it hasn't been a problem recently.
Were there specific subjects that started to stand out for you in high school, or when did you kind of get some idea of what might come next and how?
So I had great teachers in high school, and especially great English and literature teachers. So I really enjoyed, took a grammar class my senior year in high school that I loved. I still remember some of the books that we read in my junior English classes that just helped me see that books were something that you could do that were fun, that it wasn't just an assignment. We read and then watched a production of Julius Caesar that was really a formative experience for me. So yeah, I mean, I think it was the teachers that just really made it enjoyable.
What year did you graduate from high school?
I graduated in 1996.
We're just trying to get a sense of how old various people are, but they'll have to do the math.
Well, so the math will be a little, yeah, so 96, that will be helpful. I took 4 years off in between high school and college, though. So I worked what started out as a gap year turned into, I don't know, a gap presidential cycle, I guess. It took me a while to kind of figure out, I don't know, how to be a person in the world. I wasn't a very good student in high school. I was able to just kind of skate by, but I didn't have any motivation to keep doing, like paying someone to keep doing that. So
it wasn't like, as soon as I get through with high school, I'm going straight into college. That was never even a consideration, really.
I mean, I think it was an option for sure. I know it made my folks nervous that I didn't go to college right away. I worked at a job in a research lab. It's actually the same place where my dad worked. And they were a little nervous about it because I was starting to make some money and I was able to buy some things. And they were just worried that I would get used to just being able to earn a certain level of income. But I was going to hit a ceiling really, really quickly without a college degree. But yeah, I think that college was an option, but I wasn't ready to do that. I wasn't ready to be that kind of motivated student.
Were you living at home during these 4 years that you worked?
No, I lived in a house with a bunch of guys from church. It was my first room. There should be quotation marks somewhere because I lived on what was charitably a landing at the second floor of this house that we kind of cordoned off. It was big enough for a single bed and some bookshelves, and that's about it. My best friend lived in a very large closet. So we enjoyed our time there, but it was is what you can do when you're 18, 19 years old.
And did you feel like at some point that you had maybe quote unquote matured enough, or what ultimately made you decide, okay, maybe it's time to go to school? And then how did you decide where that might be?
My friend, the friend actually that lived with the walk-in closet, he eventually moved to Omaha just down the road from Lincoln and went to, I think it was, at that time it was called Grace University. It was a small Bible college in Omaha. And he seemed to be having a good time there. And so I followed him. We were roommates for a couple of years. I only did a year there, but it got me back into school.
Was school more interesting? You were more motivated by then? Or what was that first year back like for you?
It was interesting. So my year at Grace became a fairly pivotal time in my life. I was still a freshman, so I took all freshman classes, even though I was 3 or 4 years older than most of my classmates. At Grace, freshmen had to live on campus, but because I was older, I didn't have to. And so I had a little bit of space there. It was also at a point in my life where I was starting to question the received theology of my growing up. Grace was a place where my parents, the people who taught me how to think about the Bible and how to think about God, would have been very comfortable with that theology. I was just starting to question it, I guess. And for whatever reason, the people I was asking questions to in Omaha, where I was going to church, even some of my professors there, were not very receptive to the questions I was asking. And so instead of helping me kind of think through these questions, my memory of them now is that they felt threatened by them and did not encourage them. And that sort of had the opposite effect of what I think they were hoping for, which is instead of me just kind of setting the questions aside, it really sort of it drove me away from that type of theology and faith tradition. For about 10 years, I stopped. I didn't go to church. I was not really interested in anything that had to do with institutional religion. And it was pretty angry about it for a lot of that time.
Do you know where that came from, where that got started?
The questions? I mean, I think some of it was just I started to read a little bit more widely. I think that was a part of it. I think some of it is just a sort of personality trait that I wanted to understand why more than I think that the faith tradition in which I was raised, again, was comfortable with. They were very good at telling me what to think, but not necessarily why. And that ended up being a problem for me.
So what came after that year at Grace?
I transferred over to the University of Nebraska at Omaha because I still liked living in Omaha. I had good friends there. And I was a British literature major at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. And I graduated with a degree in British Lit.
Something that you can easily find employment with.
That's right. I mean, talk about making my parents nervous. The plan for most of my time there was just to move straight from undergrad into a graduate degree. I loved everything about being a literature major. I liked reading the professional journals that were part of that world. I liked thinking about what different poems meant. I spent a lot of time with a British poet named William Blake, who was also an illustrator, and also had a complicated relationship with institutional religion during his time, which is, I think, one of the reasons that really drew me to him. And so I didn't really question whether or not that was a world that I wanted to continue to exist in. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. But I had a moment at the end of my undergraduate career where we were reading a number of journal articles where different academic people were sort of having an argument about some esoteric thing. And I remember thinking, if this is what the sort of peak of this career path is going to be, I'm not sure that this is how I want to devote all of my time. But then at that point, I had no backup. So I was going to graduate with a British literature degree and no plan for what came next. So that set off some like a sort of a scramble for what was going to come next.
So you graduated in 2000?
No, so it would have been about 2000. I graduated in 2005, I think. 2004, 2005. And during that last semester, this friend, so the friend that I, my friend John, he's the one that moved to Omaha and I followed him. He had moved out to Fresno, California. And he was at that point working as a grant writer for a consulting firm in Fresno. And they needed another grant writer. And so during my last year, when I was kind of at a loss for what to do next, they flew me out there and I decided that that was what I was going to do. And so after I graduated, I moved out to Fresno to be a grant writer.
As an English major, I understand just a bit. People say, what do you do with those degrees? And my answer is, whatever you can figure out to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And grant writing was one of the things that I was actually fairly well prepared to do with my English degree, because I was able to read lots of stuff and then synthesize it and spit it back out into something that was hopefully compelling for the grant reviewer. So I've been doing that, I don't know, 15 years now, I guess.
So that's what you're still doing?
Yeah. I worked in Fresno for a couple of years at this place, and then I moved up to Portland. And after, it took me a few months of, I worked at Starbucks for about 9 months, and then got a job at Portland Community College at their grants office. And after about a year of that, one of the programs that I wrote a grant for at Portland Community College was called Gateway to College. They were getting ready to be their own, like a separate nonprofit organization, so separate from PCC. And the executive director of that program and I really got along well. And so she hired me to help them spin off the program and to be their first development director. So I did that and worked for them off and on for about 9 years.
So when you moved from Nebraska to California, that was kind of a big move, both geographically and distance-wise. Mm-hmm. What was that like, those first maybe weeks in California? What were you thinking and feeling?
So about a month before I moved to Fresno, my friend John, he and his wife moved up to Chico, California to pursue another opportunity that they had up there. So I was moving to Fresno without that relationship there. I rented an apartment just like online. I'd never visited it. It ended up being in a not great part of town. And I think it was after the second or third drug raid in the middle of the night where I broke my lease and found another place to live, because it was not a great place to be. I was very alone in Fresno, though. The consulting firm that I worked with was small. There were about 4 or 5 employees. They were all a little older than me, but that was less of an issue than there weren't any kindred spirits there for me to really be friends with. And so I spent 2 years pretty isolated there. I worked a lot. And I spent a lot of money at Barnes & Noble buying books.
And was this the time when you were not attending church either?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This was, that Fresno sort of coincided with like when I was, yeah, most lonely, most sort of upset with what I can't access that emotion anymore of how I felt. I think a lot of the anger that I felt at institutional religion was more about me than it was about any sort of perceived hypocrisy that I thought I was aware of. But Fresno, like that sort of long dark night of the soul, was that had a geography for me as well in Fresno.
And then why Portland? Had you been to Portland? Did you know people in Portland? How did that come about?
This is a theme that my friend John had moved to Portland. He is from Portland, but his brother and sister-in-law had started a nonprofit that worked in Malawi, Africa. And they were going to be in Malawi for about 6 months. And they needed someone to house sit and dog sit and kind of take care of the U.S. operational side of their nonprofit while they were in Malawi. And so I was up visiting Portland, visiting John and his wife, and I had dinner with his brother and sister-in-law, and they sort of told me about their plans and what they were wanting to do and what they needed. And I said, I'll do that. I don't want to live in Fresno anymore. And so I loaded up my Saturn with all my books and whatever sort of clothing I still had, and I moved up to Portland.
We're going to jump ahead a little bit. Well, we've got you in Portland now, mm-hmm. So we're not jumping too far. But at some point, a young woman entered your life.
That's right. So I met Crystalline about a year after I moved to Portland. Like I said, I worked at a Starbucks for about 9 months when I first moved here. And one of my coworkers got married during that time, and Crystalline was a bridesmaid in the wedding. And so I went to the wedding. I had no intention of going to the reception. I don't like that stuff. But I did, and I saw Crystalline. She was dancing. She was barefoot dancing on the dance floor. And I thought she seemed like she was fun. I was much too cowardly to actually talk to her. But I mentored her to my friend who got married. And our friend Sarah did a very masterful job setting us up. So we went on our first date about a month and a half after that wedding. And we were married 7 months after our first date.
It's good to have friends who know how to make introductions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did you come to be, or how do you come to be, at Portland Mennonite Church?
So I was just thinking about this the other day, listening to one of Rod's sermons, and just feeling really thankful that Beckett and Sadie would grow up in a church that has the kind of faith and practice that we have at PMC. So I was just thinking about the process. So my friends, John and Kate, they lived on the other side of Hawthorne, just down the road from the Baghdad Theater. And one of the times when I visited Portland, when I was still living in Fresno, they had decided we were all going to go to Portland Mennonite for church. And this was still when I was really pretty frustrated with church and religion. And I don't remember what Rod preached or really anything about that morning, other than it was the first time in years and years when I sat in a church service and was not sort of actively angry about what I was hearing and experiencing. And that memory really stayed with me. So after Crystalline and I got married, actually even before this, one of the groups of friends that I had up in Portland, we had started a house church. We had a house church for about 4 years. At some point there were like 25, 30 people that were coming to this thing over that time. Because I still wasn't ready for like an institutional, like I still wasn't ready to go to church, but I was missing like a faith community in my life. And then the house church sort of faded away after a number of us moved, including Crystalline and I, when we lived in Silverton for about a year and a half. We were going to move back to Portland. Crystalline was pregnant with Beckett. And we, at that point, we were both just ready. We were ready to go back to church. And I remembered this experience that I had. It was probably at least 6 or 7 years earlier at PMC. And so we had decided that we were going to give it a try. And neither of us were really interested in church shopping. And so we were going to have to experience Portland Mennonite as not a fit, rather than trying to find the sort of perfect situation for us. But what we found was the perfect situation for us. We fell at home immediately at PMC, both just in terms of the atmosphere. We loved the stampede of little kids coming up front on Sunday mornings. The peace witness was very important to me, was very important to us. And just Rod's preaching was, it was intellectually stimulating and just a breath of fresh air from some of the things that I had experienced previously in my life.
So once you came, you decided that you would stay.
We did. Yeah, it took us a little while to get connected. We went on our first retreat out to Twin Rocks a couple years after we started attending. We met the Krugers and the Yoders and Felicia out there, and Kelsey and Zach and Knight King out there. And that really, those relationships really cemented our community in Portland and at PMC. And that has really been the circle on which our lives really around are those relationships.
Am I correct that you are now part of the leadership table?
You are correct that I am now part of the leadership table. I was elected chair-elect last year, and I'll be a chair starting next year.
Because Bree needed to step down.
Yeah, because Bree had to step down, yeah.
Thank you so much, Dave, for taking the time to help us to get to know you a little better and sharing some of your amazing stories.
It was fun to talk to you this morning, Gloria. I really had a good time.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.